This Memorial Day, click into cordless power at the Home Depot. Tackle your yard cleanup with the precision and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt expanded cordless string trimmer. Then power through the heavier debris with more than an hour of runtime on the Ryobi 40-volt cordless battery blower. Right now, you can get either one for only $159 each. It's time to click into Memorial Day doing at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hi and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast. I'm Robbie Earl. I've got my mucker Robbie Musto with me as we look back on an action-packed match day 37 with drama at both ends of the table. But before we get to the football, we want to take time to read a review. We ask our listeners each week to rate and review our shows, and we'll read out the best responses on our podcast. So true to our word, we've got a great one here from Falcon Beast, who said he loves the Two Robbies wrap-up of a Premier League match. It's great for any Premier League fan. They provide unbiased opinions on every team, not just the top six. I listen to their pod on my way to school. I love listening to the Two Robbies talk on the pod. I love seeing them on NBC broadcast. He says further, I'm a Man United fan. I first became a Man United fan using them in FIFA because they were the highest rated team. When I actually started watching the Premier League, it was Fergie's last season, they won the title. I became a typical bandwagon fake fan. However, after sticking with them through the last 3 or 4 years, I don't know anyone more dedicated to the team than I am. I took a tour of Old Trafford a couple of years ago when I was in England, and it was breathtaking. The way the club operates is very respectable, well organised. I'm hoping they get back to their consistent winning ways of old as the club and the fans discern it. So thank you, Falcon Beast, for that one. And keep your reviews coming in if you want your chance of being read out on a future show. So, Robbie Musso, just before we get into the football, I have to say some news broke a couple of days ago about Sir Alex Ferguson not being well. He was rushed into hospital for emergency operation on a brain hemorrhage. We were told that the operation went as well as could be expected, but now he needs a period of recuperation. So certainly from me, and I'm sure from us both, we just want to wish, you know, the best ever manager in Premier League history. Get well soon.
Yeah, I mean, just shocking news, Rob, wasn't it? You know, when it came through, it was like, oh, wow. You know, and I think we've seen a huge outpouring of support and well wishes from everybody all around the world, really, in terms of football. So absolutely, Rob, I echo your thoughts there. Please make it through and get a speedy recovery.
Yeah, let's talk about another Premier League legend. Arsene Wenger had his big farewell today. His team beat Burnley 5-0, which I thought was fitting to showing some of the football that Arsene's wanted over his 22 years in charge. Your takeaway, Rob, from Arsene Wenger and his time at the club before we talk about the game?
I think we've said a lot about him and what we've seen from him. My biggest takeaway is those great teams and the teams that he produced and the teams that we went toe-to-toe with, basically. And I certainly had big games against Arsenal. I remember a FA Cup semi-final at Old Trafford where they beat us on a Gianluca Festa own goal. That was a great side with Petit and Vieira and Henry and Bergkamp and everybody else. So I think in terms of what he achieved in the football, those teams were pretty stunning. And I think he's always carried himself, Rob, with a huge amount of class, a huge amount of respect, and a very single-minded kind of approach to the game that he's never going to be swayed in the way that... The way that he's played the game, and just today, Rob, with the scenes there and the support and the crowd and the reaction and the chanting and the songs and the banners and everything, I just thought it was really, really great that the fans got together, were united, and you know, it's really nice seeing them come out, address the fans, and it just felt like a really nice send off.
Yeah, I think you're right there. My sort of personal sort of recollections are a man who came into a football club in 1996, Rob, who weren't sort of, you know, fighting at the top of the league at the time. They were sort of a little bit rudderless. I think Bruce Rioch had just been in charge. He took hold of this team. He modernised this team. He got this team better. He saw through and moved to the Emirates, to one of the best stadiums in English football. He built teams that went on to be invincibles. He modernised Arsenal Football Club. He modernised English football and playing it with a beautiful style and a beautiful way. And it was always going to be an emotional day, Rob. But this is what he had to say when he was asked about it after the game today.
Has it really started to sink in yet? that you are saying farewell after 22 years?
No, not honestly, no, because I'm so much focused. You know, when you're in our job, all the managers will tell you that you disconnect from your own feelings and you don't ask yourself how you feel. You just focus and you're a bit robotic on just winning the next game and thinking about the problems you have, and you forget yourself. So it will take me some time to reconnect a little bit with myself and really know what I want to do and how I feel.
I still think, Rob, there's a... And it's, of course, very honest of him there, but I still feel like the acceptance of he's not going to be the Arsenal manager. I think he's still struggling with it a little bit, because he loves the job, loves the football club so much that he doesn't really want to think about life after Arsenal, doesn't want to contemplate what he's going to do next or how he feels now in terms of the send-off and what it's like to you know, be in his last game at Emirates, of course, today. As he said there in an interview, I'm just focused on the game. I just hope he doesn't... I mean, I'm sure he took it in afterwards, and I've said this before, like, you want him to take in the appreciation. You want him to feel the love. You want him to feel the appreciation and the realization that it is coming to an end. But when you hear him, he's so into it. He obviously doesn't want it to happen.
No, I mean, I hope they take the keys off him, Rob, because I'm telling you, next season, he'll be in there the first day of training. He'll be sitting behind his desk, and that's important. But do you know one thing that stood out with some of the words that he said when he spoke to the fans at the Emirates today? He said, I'm an Arsenal fan. And do you know what? That resonated with me a little bit, because I thought, and I know I'm not picking this guy out because of any particular reason, but Jose Mourinho's been in charge of Real Madrid, Chelsea, Manchester United, Inter Milan, won silverware in all those places. He's never once, and I don't think in the same way he would say, I am a fan of any one of those clubs. Because he manages those clubs, he does a very good job, he wins them silverware, and then he goes on to the next job. Arsene Wenger is devoted to this football club. It'll never be out of his system. It'll never be out of his blood. It'll be the first thing he'll look for, whatever he does, if he ever takes another job on. That's how much this guy has dedicated his life to getting Arsenal to the position they're in. That's why he deserved the send-off that he got today.
And also on that, Robert, before this term, the project manager came about. He was before that. Sir Alex was before that. They weren't interested in projects. They were interested in, you know, a quick kind of life support, a few changes, and then we're going to go and win something, then I'm going to go somewhere else. I mean, that's what's kind of special about it. And, you know, of course, with Sir Alex not being well, and now with Arsene Wenger finishing at Arsenal, you sort of think in the future is going to be about project managers, isn't it? Yeah. I'm not sure we're ever going to see, you know, let alone 22 or 26, 27. I'm not sure we're going to get any more than five. You know, that's just the way that the game's changed, isn't it, in terms of managing it?
And it's interesting you say that, because Carl and I were having a conversation sort of off air as the Wenger stuff was going on, and we said, you know what, he's probably going to be the last manager who has a statue or has a stand named after him, because nobody's really going to be at a club long enough. No. As you say, maybe five years max. You don't name stands after somebody who's been there for 4 or 5 years. Yeah. So we are seeing a bit of history, something unique in Arsene going. Just to meet his team today, Rob got the job done. I mean, talking about Burnley and, you know, they were closing the gap and whatever. There was a real gap in class and quality today, and I thought it was fitting that the five goals on the day that it was his last game in charge at the Emirates.
Yeah, I think so, and I think, you know, it's great to get that feel good factor, and ultimately now going forward, you know, he's got two strikers that he's brought to the football club, two for Aubameyang today and one for Lacazette that are going to be exciting for this football club for the next few seasons, whoever takes charge. But that's something he can look at and say that he was involved in bringing those two players to the club. So I think that's the exciting part. I mean, I know there's going to be change, and maybe we'll quickly talk about, you know, where the future might be for the for the football club. But today was great, and those two strikers give a reason, plus Ozil's and maybe Ramsey's and Mkhitaryan, other players that can still keep this kind of exciting attacking football alive at Arsenal Football Club.
Let's talk, let's finish off about Arsene first. In terms of his football, as you said, he might not have settled yet that he's not going to be the Arsenal manager next season, but that is the truth. That is going to happen. Where do you see him, Rob? Do you see him in club football? Do you see him staying in England? Do you think he goes abroad? Is he maybe more suited to a national job with his age and his influence on players now?
I think I think the national team is really, really interesting. We'll see what France do at the World Cup. I think I do
USA,
see...
USA, USA. Could we get Wenger in to USA?
Oh, wow.
The two Robbies as an assistant. Let's get it out there, mate.
That's a great shout, my friend. No, I really don't know. I think he's still up for club management. I think he's still up for it. I don't think it'll be in England. I think it will be in a different country, in European football somewhere. There's been talk about France, of course, but that looks maybe unlikely now. I said to we got some family visiting. It's been my son's graduation this weekend, and you know, you look at him, he looks fit. It's a fiddle, by the way. He's lean. He looks, you know, his focus is still there. I mean, he just looks in good shape to continue in his, you know, his dream job that he's loved over the years and go somewhere else to coach. So I think he will continue. Absolutely. I would probably favour a club job over a national team manager, but I don't know. You know, yeah. I think he wouldn't know yet. I think he does need a little bit of time to just consider, you know, what his future might be. But absolutely, we haven't seen the last of Arsene Wenger on the sideline for sure.
Any thoughts towards who might be the man to sit in the hot seat next? I mean, Luis Enrique has been mentioned, but there's talk about that's not gone as far or as well as they would have hoped. It's talk that they're not going to be paying the same money, Rob. I think it's £8.5 million or something, you know, maybe $10 million that Wenger was earning. They're not going to pay that. So might we see a change in the way that this is done?
Yeah, I think so. You know, things do change and different reports come out. Mm. And what we're seeing... And I think there was a report, I think it was ESPN that did a piece about this, and about Stan Kroenke's son, Josh Kroenke, and the fact that he's involved, he's president of sports teams in the US, and they've had great success in hiring young coaches with everything kind of to prove a little bit. And there has been a lot of rumours over almost the last week or so, Rob, of Mikel Arteta. Of course, we know Buvac, the assistant to Klopp at Liverpool, has left Liverpool at the moment under kind of personal reasons type of situation that, you know, he's rumoured have been interested, or the club have been interested in him, Arsenal. Julian Nagelsmann, the young coach at Hoffenheim. With the structure, with the director of football, with the support staff around this football club now, the way they've done it differently, it maybe is going to be Patrick Vieira, another young one. Mm. So I think, you know, I don't know. I just think it's an interesting way to go. I think it wouldn't be the, if you got all the kind of the summary of pundits and former players and, you know, whether it'd be the right way to go. But I think Arsenal Football Club are seriously thinking about hiring the next big thing. Yeah. So instead of getting an Ancelotti or some Allegri that have done it and hands up, and they absolutely could be great managers of this club, I get a sense, and after kind of digging around a little bit, it's an idea, you know, a young coach, and see how he does. What do you think? Do you think that's possible? Would you go that way?
I do think that's possible, mainly because of what you say about the Kroenke business and the way they run their sports franchises over here. They tend to have a certain formula that's worked for them in some respects, and I'm not saying it's the main reason, but you maybe don't have to pay quite as much as someone who's experienced, got lots of trophies behind them. You get a bit of drive, you get a bit of hunger, you get maybe a bit of forward thinking. So I agree. I think it tends to be going more that way. I think the imperative thing for Arsenal is to get somebody in that seat pretty quickly. With all due respect to Arsene Wenger and his time and him seeing his time out, then, you know, from the end of the season,
it'll be done quick, won't it?
I think it will be done quick. They need to get it done quickly before World Cup so they can start looking at transfers. Somebody can start assessing the squad and talking about moving this club forward. It's no use taking a year or 2 years to look at this. Arsenal have to hit the ground running next season and be part of that top four challenge.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a little bit today. There's still some good players there. There is, and we mentioned on our last podcast, Rob, that, you know, I know they went out of the Europa League at the semi-final stage, but they're not that far away. You know, other people, you know, can report and can say that, you know what, this team wants ripping up and starting again, and lots of new players need to come in. I always a little bit careful of that. There's a lot of good attacking players. The hardest part to get right at your football club. Add some defenders, add midfield players. I think they need them as well, particularly in the centre. And this club isn't far away. But yeah, I think it'll happen quickly. I think Arsene Wenger will do his last game. The season will finish. And I think they're right in the middle of the process right now, finding the right guy. And I agree. I think it'll be done, you know, quite quickly after the season finishes.
Time to move to the champions. Yes. Finally, they lifted the trophy at the Etihad today, Manchester City. Slightly disappointing 0-0 draw at home for them. Very surprising them not scoring goals against Huddersfield team who were well set up.
Yeah, well,
let's concentrate on City first. So City lifted their third Premier League title in 7 years. Rob Vincent company holding it aloft. And there's a lot of talk about this group being together. There's about a familiarity. There's an understanding between the group. And some of the scenes there today, it came across that they enjoy each other's company. Mm. I just get the sense that there could be some longevity to this Manchester City thing.
Yeah, I think so. I think when you look at the age of the squad, you know, there's no question that they're in the right situation in their career to go on and win again and to be driven again. And I just really enjoyed today looking at some of the young players at City, the new champions, the players that have dreamt of this moment to lift that title. And they looked genuinely excited, happy. Leroy Sané, I thought, was particularly buzzing around, bouncing around. We saw interviews from John Stones and Raheem Sterling. Kyle Walker, of course, came across from Spurs to get days like this. So that has to be a little bit ominous for the other teams in the Premier League, because they are of a good age. They've smelt and they've tasted and they've touched winning and greatness and being title winners. And we often say, Rob, don't we, that sometimes I think, you know, you need to get that first trophy or league title as these younger players to know what it's all about, to know what it was that took them to the title this season, because they should know that, they should remember it for future seasons. And, you know, defence got made younger in the summer, a goalkeeper switch, and all of a sudden it all came together. I think it was Kevin De Bruyne, Rob, that said afterwards, you know, there's a very humble nature to this squad. And he kind of credited recruitment for bringing in players, not just with the, you know, with fantastic ability, but also the right character personality to be able to handle playing at a club like Manchester City and not get too big time about it. So that, again, would be like a tick in the box of, wow, this team could go on and dominate a little bit.
Yeah, and in a strange way, Rob, and I know the comparisons probably Manchester United fans won't like, but it kind of reminds me a little bit of that class of 92 when you saw those young boys there and they got the first one, and you kind of saw the look in their eye and they're smelling it as though they're hungry for more. And some of those boys have ended up with 5, 6, 7, you know, gigs in them. Beckham, they controlled themselves. They were important parts of the team, but they were winners, Rob. And each year they were relentless to go out and prove themselves again. And just get the sense that Pep might have got this with his group. And it was interesting when he was asked after the game about what it felt like winning his first title in English football, because there was those who doubted him when he first started.
It's a special day for the players, but for you to win it in Germany, Spain and now England, a personal triumph.
No, it's the same feeling. I think this league is tougher for the huge contenders, the quality, but we are delighted what we have done, the way we have done, and win the title 4 or 5 weeks ago.
You had some dark days, didn't you, in your early days here at Manchester City. Did you ever doubt that your way would work?
When we start, for example, today, when we start before one game, before one season, you never know what's going to happen. You don't know. Just to prepare the team well, and the title is a consequence. So, but I was not sure this season, the previous season, and all my career in Barcelona, Munich, so I didn't expect. So now I'm happy because we did it.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of interesting things there, Rob. I think it's interesting when he talks about the Premier League being tougher.
Yeah.
I don't think he says that lightly, because he's not that guy that's going to say stuff that he doesn't really mean.
Listen, 0-0 at home to Huddersfield tells you what this league's about. Absolutely tells you what this league's about.
Yeah, it does. And you know, I think it's testament to his philosophy. He stuck with it. We all know, we've talked about it many times, Rob, about, you know, people doubting whether he could play that total football from goalkeeper all the way through and be successful. But he's absolutely smashed the league this season. He really has. And it just shows everybody. There's so many different ways to win games and to win titles. But it's just, you know, in terms of his own stats, I mean, what is it? 7 title wins in 9 league campaigns. Wow. I mean, I know he's been at big clubs and I know he's spent money, but listen, there's a lot of big clubs out there with a lot of money that don't win. So people should remember that. And I've just been thoroughly entertained, mesmerised with some of the football, some of the goals, the bravery. You know, sometimes there's moments when they do, you know, slip up and give goals away, but it's just been an absolute joy. And I saw you on the broadcast, Rob, and I think you and Carr both agreed that this is or has been the best Premier League team in a single season in terms of what they've done almost now in 30, I think is what they've got, a couple of games left in 38 games. But it will be, and I'm with you. I think it absolutely will be. Just the when you watch them play, the difference in class is so stark. I mean, today was amazing by Huddersfield. Yeah. I mean, we're not going to talk too much, but that was an amazing group, spirited performance. Flipping heck. I mean, just
we've been there. We've been that team, haven't we? Sitting back, chasing, running, blocking, heading.
You know?
Cramp, booting the ball upfield, knowing it's coming back in about 10 seconds. So you take a couple of gulps in, put your head down.
Amazing.
And you know, that may well be enough a point to see us feel through. Just before we move to a couple of individuals, Rob, I just also wanted to because I was looking a bit about the league and thinking, and it's, you know, not only have Manchester City or winning the league by 17 points, scoring 102 goals and getting, you know, 30 wins this season and all the other accolades, but it's probably been one of the strongest times of the Premier League in terms of quality of manager, in terms of money spent by each, in terms of a top six that at the moment Arsenal couldn't get them, you know, just about got themselves in. You know, this is a Manchester City who dominated the season, not even been close.
Yeah, it's been I know, and been to, you know, pretty much every club and won. I know Liverpool had really good success against Man City. Yeah. I think they're the only team probably around in Europe that have got the energy to stop their play through hustle and through hard work and have the players that can hurt them on the counter-attack. That's how they've done it against City. All the others have not. And I think you're absolutely right. We talk about the managers in the Premier League at the moment. There's certainly the influx of money with the increased revenue from TV deals over the last few years. You know, it's a stacked top six where Chelsea, the champions from last season, can't get close to them. So it's, again, it adds, and it's in the, you know, it's all in the brain, isn't it? When you sort of compute, hang on a minute, is this the best team? Because you don't just, it's not just about the numbers. It is about what you see, and it has to be about the relative strength of this division compared to other seasons. And I think because what you've just said there, I think you have to say, wow, this is stunning given the strength of the league.
Okay, quick rundown of a few players who've made huge differences as football club over this season or over the few years for Manchester City. Edison in goal. Talk to me about this guy, Rob. It's just different what he's done. I've got my view.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is how it's different. I am, not equally as, but I am excited when he gets a ball at his feet. And I've never, ever, ever said that about a goalkeeper. Because I'm like, go on then, where are you going to go? What, you know, you're going to slap it into midfield, you're going to dink one into the strikers or the front area. You know, he's got the composure for the attacker to come in and just, you know, don't watch the eyes and play it and make passes. So, you know, it's incredible. That is incredible. Given he's a pretty good shot stopper, had a really good save today, didn't he? But the ball at his feet is like, I'm excited to see it, and he's done brilliantly well, certainly in that capacity this season.
Well, here's my take. Been thinking about it all day. He's not a goalkeeper, right? Forget that. He's not a goalkeeper. He's a defender who can use his hands. He's like having an extra player on the pitch. Do you remember when we were kids and used to play, call it rush goalie? So whoever's the deepest line defender could use his hands. That's what Manchester City have. They virtually have 11 outfield players when they have possession of the ball, and then they have a goalkeeper when the opposition doesn't. It's just like Pep's produced another player by using a goalkeeper who could play in midfield and most other teams in the Premier League and probably be a star player.
You know, it's funny because Huddersfield today, they high-pressed a lot. Almost like man-for-man as the outfield players. But who's a spare guy? It goes back to Edison. Yeah. It goes back and doesn't give it away. He doesn't give it away and it builds up again. And then those three or four that have pressed really high, oh, like, oh, they look around, they go, oh, I've got to run all the way back now. So it has been astonishing, and it's blimmin' effective. And even today I thought, I bet Pep sat there thinking, wow, this guy is miles better on the ball than I could have ever imagined when bringing him to the football club. So good guy to pick out, and I think, absolutely, he's been a huge part of this title win.
Leroy Sané and Raheem Sterling, Rob, have surprised me with their quality, with their consistency, their goal output, assists, have been a huge part of the success.
Yeah, they really have. I mean, I think particularly Raheem Sterling, I think it's 18 Premier League goals in 32 goals, appearances. It's stunning. I mean, that's just better than one in every two games. Is really unusual for a wide player. I think we all know, and I think our listeners will know what his weakness is, or his weakness really is, and that's just his finishing. It's not even composure. It's just the technique of striking and being composed and making sure he finishes. And Leroy Sané, I absolutely love this player. I mean, 22 years of age, he's going to be involved with Germany in the national team, of course, in the World Cup. He's got 10 goals in 30. One in three, again, is very, very good. Effortless, graceful sprinter of a runner. Tremendous change of direction. Just gone off a little bit, I would say, in the last kind of month or so. He's maybe tired a fraction. I thought he was lively today. Certainly those two players in terms of, you know, wide guys that were asked to do more this season. We talked about ways that they've improved. Yeah. Pep said last season, we've got to be better in both boxes defensively, and I need more goals, more opportunities. And these two have helped massively in that.
I think everybody's recognised Kevin De Bruyne's ability. Yeah. We talked about David Silva. I want to talk about the other guy in there, Rob, who goes a little bit unnoticed. Yeah. Fernandinho,
Not with us, does he?
Fernandinho has been colossus this season.
Yeah,
absolutely
been brilliant.
Colossus, mate.
Class. And Pep says, like, you know, I'm just honoured to be working with him. And he has been absolutely magnificent. And I'd have had him in the team of the season. It's so much work when you consider that David Silva and De Bruyne are not really geared or built to defend. He has to do so much work. And he's also brilliant on the ball. He scored some good goals. He's brave. He never stops running. You know, he's reliable. He's got a great attitude. He's in great shape. He's 33 years of age, by the way, Rob. He's 33. So, I think you pick out, I mean, that whole midfield, though. I know we've talked a lot about De Bruyne. I mean, David Silva, again, is a brilliant little footballer. You watch him again today, and the way he manoeuvres it, never gets caught, very rarely gives the ball away. But you're right, Fernandinho is just so, so important to holding things together for him.
Yeah, and I just want to pay a little time to a guy who's apparently going to start the game against Brighton on Wednesday night, I think it is, Yaya Touré. We saw him come on today. Mm. I mean, some of these guys like Touré, like Aguero, like Vincent Kompany, Rob, have been important with this group. You get the sense that they're delivering messages in the dressing room and trying to give the ambition. And I heard Yaya Touré say after the game today that obviously it's his last season. He's enjoyed playing a big part, being a part of this year. But he said it's now time for these young players to kick on. Mm. I thought that was really kind of quite selfless of him to recognise it. You know, he's had his moments. He's had three Premier League titles, but he also understand there's some young, hungry players now who are going to really try and drive this club forward.
Yeah, and I mean, again, pleased today at the reception that he got. I mean, the fans don't forget, do they? They don't forget how important he was and how good was he, by the way. He scored the goals from midfield. He's a
20-odd goals,
powerful, a brilliant player for them. The fans gave him a fantastic reception, and it is great of him. I mean, you know, it's nice to get those great pictures today, Rob, that we managed to be able to keep on the air and show, and the interview with Yaya Touré. Yeah. And he's popular, wasn't he? All the lads were jumping on him and stuff, and the fans were singing, etc. So it is great. He's had a really good time at Manchester City, and you're right, Phil Foden, 17 years of age. You know, other midfield players there that will come through. Bernardo Silva, I particularly like. You know, I know he's in the different kind of mould to Yaya Touré, but again, he's had a good season, and he can play wide. I think we might see him a bit more in the centre. Such a good manoeuvre of the football again. Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's good, mate, that you mentioned Yaya Touré and what he's done, and the reception that he got today from those fans.
Okay, just before we finish, yes or no answer. Manchester City win the title next season?
Yes. Yeah. Spurs can't do it. Liverpool might do it, but it could go close.
Chelsea, could they come good?
No, bit too much to make up again.
United,
I know they've done it before, but United should go close. Depending on who they buy, they've got to buy. They've got to get better because, at the moment, I mean, we saw the recent game. I mean, it was a very poor attempt. So I don't see United quite doing it unless they bring in some brilliant players in the summer.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you. At the moment, they have to start favours. Everybody else is playing catch-up. Yeah. Let's move to the top four positions, Rob, because it was a big game in that regard. Chelsea facing Liverpool today. Chelsea got a 1-0 win. Category A striker, Olivier Giroud.
No, it's not a category A striker.
Scored a goal.
He's good at heading the ball.
Taking Morata out of the picture now, scores a goal. But we'll move on from there because it was a great 3 points for Chelsea. Just close the gap a little bit, Rob. And then all of a sudden, with a couple of games to go for Tottenham and Chelsea, one game to go for Liverpool, we might have a little fight for fourth.
I think we are. I think we are going to get a fight for it. And Chelsea today, I mean...
When they're fired up, they're good.
I mean, they haven't had the stomach or the hunger to do it every single week. Like when you're at the top of the league and you feel like something special is happening, you do it every single week. Chelsea haven't been able to do that. And Olivier Giroud gets his start up front, gets his goal. He is brilliant at attacking crosses. I've always said that. He's one of the best in the league, if not the best at attacking crosses. And he's good. He's strong. He heads the ball well. And, you know, he gets a winning goal today. Hazard was so good. Was just, you know, very, 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 very good. And Kante, so they were up for it today. Liverpool struggled a little bit today. But you're right. I mean, you look at the league table now. They're 2 points behind Spurs. Both teams have got two games remaining. Games and Liverpool just got one game
against
left.
Against Brighton.
Yeah. So anybody, those, you know, Spurs and Liverpool, they've got a better goal difference than Chelsea. But if they slip up in the remaining games, you have to think now that Chelsea are going to go on. Well, they've got Huddersfield at home and Newcastle away, Chelsea.
Two winnable games.
You'd think they're going to win both of those. So it's up to Liverpool to beat Brighton and Spurs to get the required points from Newcastle at home and Leicester at home to stop Chelsea getting into the top four, absolutely.
Certainly. We're looking forward to Championship Sunday when there could be a race for fourth, where we do think there's going to be a race... Bottom of the table. I mean, will West Brom just lie down for one moment? I mean, geez, it's like every week we get a scenario from our researchers, right? This happens, and West Brom will be relegated. Last minute of their own game, they score to beat Spurs 1-0. Last minute of the Everton games with Southampton 1-0 up, Everton get an equaliser to keep them alive. And I think if you're a West Brom player, Rob, right now, you might start thinking... It's on, you know. Another great escape is on.
Yeah, they absolutely got to go for it. And the form's brilliant over the last few games now. And they can do it. I think they've got to get... it's three wins in the last five for West Brom now, where wins were nowhere near. I think if Swansea draw with Southampton, they go to the last day having an opportunity and they go away at Palace. I've simplified things for us all, Rob.
Thank you, because we need to simplify.
Right. So... You think it's going to be Southampton and Swansea is where it's at, both on 33 points.
That game on Tuesday is huge.
It's huge, and Southampton must win it. That's it. Forget about everything else. Southampton must win it, because the last day of the season, Southampton play Manchester City.
Yeah.
Okay?
And Swansea are at home
against Stoke, who are relegated. Yeah. So you'd have to say that's going to be 3 points for Swansea.
Yeah.
So Southampton, I've got to get to 36. Man City at home, you can't expect anything. So this is the game. Tuesday is the game. The season comes down to it. It's going to be marvellous, marvellous entertainment, football. It's going to be brilliant. But I think Southampton...
If Southampton draw, then you think they stay in the Premier League with a win. With a draw, do you think that Southampton possibly gone?
You know, Huddersfield on 36 are still, you know, they've got Chelsea away and Arsenal at home.
Can they nick another point? Can they do it again? I mean, a flat back 10 and a goalkeeper, I mean...
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, whatever. I mean, they were brilliant today. Absolutely magnificent today. I was so... Well, not proud. I just thought, God, that's so much spirit.
We've been there and
appreciate what they did today. I mean, it's so deep and so compact in that 18-yard box, but they deserve their point. I just think it's Southampton. Southampton have got to get the 36 points. They've got to. And that has to come on Tuesday at Swansea. That, again, we'll see it. I mean, if they get a point, if this is a draw, and this is why I keep saying they've got to win, Southampton, Swansea placed Stoke. I mean, so that could be four points from their last two. That puts them on 37 points. You know, Southampton, they'd have to beat them. They'd have to beat City. I mean, so it's Tuesday is the day. And it's, I'm a bit gutted I'm not on the show, by the way, but it's going to be a fantastic game, all or nothing on that Tuesday.
What's your gut tell you then? You know I was going there. What's your gut tell you? Sexy Stoke have gone. I've got my black armband on. I'm shedding a tear. Sexy Stoke have gone. Yeah. Who goes with them?
Southampton.
West Brom, Southampton?
Yeah.
In your view?
Yeah, I think so. I just think Swansea, I know they've had a bit of a shocker. They've lost the last three in the Premier League. That I just think this guy, this club, a home game, a night game, it's all on it. I don't know. I just think they might do it. I just think they might stop Southampton beating them. And then, you know, with that last game. Go and do it against Stoke.
Sexy. I'm going slightly the other way. I just think Mark Hughes might have got a little something going. I think they'd be so disappointed. Played a decent game against Everton. Redmond got a goal. I just can see them going to Swansea and winning. Swansea's struggling for goals, really struggling for goals. But listen, great game on Tuesday.
It's going to come down to, isn't it?
Absolutely can't wait for that one on Tuesday evening. But that's it from us. You'll hear from us later over the next week as the season draws to an end with another podcast. But we want to hear from you, our listeners. So firstly, we'd love you to rate and review the show by downloading The Two Robbies on Apple Podcasts. Tell us what you like, where we can improve, but more importantly, tell us what team you support and why, and we'll read out the best responses on our next podcast. So, on a day when the champions, Manchester City, lifted the Premier League trophy, a few tears were shed as Orson said au revoir to those at the Emirates. I'm Earl, he's Musto, together with The Two Robbies. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
This Memorial Day, click into cordless power at the Home Depot. Tackle your yard cleanup with the precision and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt expanded cordless string trimmer. Then power through the heavier debris with more than an hour of runtime on the Ryobi 40-volt cordless battery blower. Right now, you can get either one for only $159 each. It's time to click into Memorial Day doing at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.